Chapter 5. Some Sliver of Joy. I woke when dark ran deepest and hope seemed farthest from the sky. Opening my eyes in the velvet black, I could still taste liquor on my tongue, a hint of wood smoke, another scent strung beneath like an old promise. I wondered where I was, what had woken me, and I caught it again, the perfume that set my heart beating swift against my ribs and dragged me up through the tattered wall of sleep. Silverbell. Astrid. She drifted through the dark toward me, moonlight kissing her skin as if it adored her too. She was utterly bare, pale and perfect, my eyes drinking every inch of her, the mystery of her eyes and red promise of her lips, the dizzying curve of her breasts and the smooth arcs of her hips, and lower, to the dark heaven between her thighs. And though I knew in the heart of me this was only a dream, still I sighed at the simple sight of her. "I miss you," she breathed. Standing at the foot of the bed, my bride lifted the covers, eyes sparkling to discover I was already naked and hard beneath. Slinking beneath the sheets, she prowled upward on hands and knees, long hair tickling my bare skin, a lioness of alabaster and shadow. She loomed above me now, wreathed in the perfume of Silverbell, the sheet draped about her like a funeral shroud. "I miss the way you kiss." Her face was framed by black rivers, red lips parted. She drifted closer, a serpent uncoiling, and I rose off the bed to meet her, dying to feel her mouth on mine. But Astrid allowed me only the faintest touch of her lips, placing one knife-sharp fingernail on my chest, the whole of me at her mercy with the press of her smallest finger. "I miss the way you feel." She knelt astride my thighs, razored fingernails skimming my chest, down the tattooed valley of my heaving belly until they reached the smooth heat of my cock. I groaned at her touch, her fingers flame, my breath quickening as her hand encircled me, slow and maddening. She leaned close, and again I lunged for her mouth, but once more she allowed me only the briefest kiss before she pushed me back. And with a smile as dark as honeyed chocolate, she sank toward her prize. "I miss the way you taste." I groaned as I felt that first touch, warm and soft, licking me from root to aching crown. She teased me, fist tightening around me as her lips flickered over me, breath cool upon my burning skin. She toyed with me, stroking, kissing, kneading, pleading, and I sighed and thrust my hips upward, begging for more. She laughed, tongue tracing butterflies on me for one last agonizing moment before she finally plunged me into her mouth. I was hers then, wholly and solely. My head thrown back and my spine arched as time lost all meaning. All I knew was the rhythm of her lips, the deftness of her tongue, the tightness of her throat as she forced me deep, deep as she could take me. I gathered up a fistful of her hair to guide her, and she growled assent, but in truth, this tune was hers to play. And so she did. She, the maestro, me now helpless in her song. Suckling harder, deeper, swifter now, that blissful tempo quickening with her moans as I closed my eyes and took hold of the headboard and held on for dear fucking life. "Don't stop," I begged her. "God, please don't stop." The magic of her hands, her mouth, her lips dragged me ever higher into raging heavens, nothing left but the fall. I gasped as I felt my ending rushing up from the thundering heart of me, and as I tumbled, I cried aloud, eyes open wide and all my sky aflame, the oaken headboard shattering to splinters in my grip with a crack of thunder. She moaned as white fire flooded her tongue, drinking as if I were water in her desert. And when I had nothing left to give, still she tried, suckling and swallowing and whispering, "More," until the pleasure pain was too much for me to bear. I wrapped my fingers in her tresses again, easing her away, and she let me slip from her mouth only reluctantly, gifting my still aching cock a scattering of warm kisses up and down its length before her head sank to rest on my thigh. Sweet Mother Moons, you've been saving that up for a while, she purred. My heart lurched in my chest, and I shot bolt upright, snaking back toward the broken headboard. I could barely speak for my shock, mouth agape, eyes wide. Phoebe? The dusk dancer raised herself up on one arm, curls tumbling over her pale skin. She was naked, dim moon's light spilling over tattoos and scars, sheet crumpled about her hips. Anything to drink in here? Her eyes roamed my body, and her smile turned sharp and wicked. Aside from the obvious, I mean. What the fuck are you doing in here? I demanded. She blinked, looking at me like I was a simpleton. You? I was out of the bed, taking the blanket with me. We were in my bedchamber on the top floor of the White Rabbit, memory of the night before now settling in my addled head. I realized Phoebe must have stolen in here while I was dreaming, that I'd mistaken her for that same dream. I could still see the echo of my Astrid lingering in my mind's eye, long black hair and deep black eyes and a shadow that weighed a ton. My thoughts were a tempest. Anger, shame, guilt, confusion, all further confounded by the beautiful naked woman now sitting up in my bed and gazing at me with utter bewilderment. You all right? No, I'm not fucking all right. I paced about, not knowing how to feel other than cold and naked. But, as promised, one of Fiona's daughters had taken away my clothes for washing after I'd bathed, so I was forced to wrap the blanket about my waist instead. I never asked... Damn it, I'd no wish for you to do that, mademoiselle. Phoebe's brow arched as she glanced to the headboard I'd just shattered with my bare hands. Apologies, but you seemed quite enthused a moment ago. That was... I flailed, utterly at a loss. I thought I was dreaming. Oh, I suppose a woman could take that as a compliment. I thought I was dreaming of my wife. Phoebe fell still then, her playful smile fading. Oh? She looked around the room, then slowly pulled the sheet up to cover herself. Oh, she said again. Get out. I leaned against the wall, sank to my haunches. The troth ring on my finger felt made of lead right then. God fucking damn it, get the hell out of here. I'm sorry. I looked across the bedchamber and into those golden eyes, expecting the same sharpness I usually found there. But instead, Phoebe gazed at me with honest compassion. The way you danced with me, I thought you wanted. And what you said just now, ah, shite, I thought... Phoebe hung her head, breathing deep. You're right, I should go. I watched her slipping on her chemise for the long, cold walk back to her room. And though my thoughts were still a flaming tumble of guilt and resentment and confusion, I saw Phoebe's cheeks burned with shame, and for a moment, perhaps the first in my sorry life, I tried to put myself in her shoes. She'd no knowing I dreamed of Astrid, nor the shape those dreams took. All Phoebe knew was that a man she'd shared a long and bloody road with had danced with her perilously near, and when she'd come to him in the dark, he'd pulled her closer, rather than pushing her away. And now, even though the prick was casting her out of his bed, she still had heart enough to apologize to him. It's not your fault, I told her as she rose. Phoebe glanced at me, eyes hard, lips thin. Please, I said. You don't have to leave.
Well, I kinda stay now. You've made me a fool, Gabriel de Leon.
You're not a fool, I stood slow, matching her gaze. Forgive me. Stay.
Sweet Mother Moons, she sighed. Go, stay, Kit Kat, Mademoiselle. You're like summer or winter in one bloody day, man, I swear it. Your problem is you've nae ken what you want.
I shrugged, not knowing what to tell her. I could still almost see my bride if I tried. Chest aching as the shadows lost her shape, as the scent I'd dreamed vanished in the dark. I want her back, Phoebe. She softened a little then, silvered pity shining on the hard gold of her eyes.
I know, she sighed. I know you do. And I lost one I loved too. I understand that want, that bleed. But I also understand this life is short, and this world is cold, and the warmth I feel between us now might be the last time I feel anything at all. The Dusk Dancer shook her head, anger fighting sorrow. Moon's sakes, Gabriel, she's gone. It's nae betrayal to find some sliver of joy without her. I'm not asking you to marry me. I know. I sighed, dragging a trembling hand through my hair. You know, most days I can keep a grip on it. Sometimes I even remember them both and smile. But I still dream of her, Phoebe. Not as much as I once did, but when she comes to me, she comes so sweetly, so fair, and so fine. I should have known better than to mistake you for her. Phoebe scowled then, tossed a flaming braid from her eyes. Now that, nay woman could take as a compliment. No, that's not what I meant. She marched toward the door, and I was across the bedchamber in a heartbeat, reaching for her hand. But I was heedless in my haste, and as the silver on my palm again touched her skin, she snarled in agony and wrenched herself free with a curse. Watch your damn... I'm sorry, I said, palms up as I backed away. Forgive me, Phoebe. She glared at the welt my aegis had left on her flesh, sharp teeth bared. A reminder of the enmity between our kinds, the hatred, the simple touch of my hand a poison to her. You know you're wrong, she snapped, eyes flashing. I am a damned fool. A fool who's forgot where she comes from, what she is and what ye are. Ye spoke truth in the mountains. I should have left ye in the damned snow and sought help with my kin. I have nae business being here, and I've sure as hell nae business being with the likes of you. She spat on the floor, as if to rid herself of my taste. See ye when I'm looking at yer, silver saint. Phoebe! The door slammed, and I winced at the thunderclap of her departure. I was left in the gloom then, cold, wretched, and once more, totally alone. Outstanding job, De Leon, I sighed. Just fucking brilliant.